Good morning. Welcome to the Words and the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and I want to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrodsburg.com. You'll find these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll find Bible videos that are 30 minutes in length on a number of subjects, and you also find out some information about us. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these. You'll always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to continue for the next few months. We're going to look at Bible questions that need answers. And so today, we want to ask this question and then give you a biblical answer. Should all of God's people be united? Is unity among God's people, is that an important thing? Well, let's begin by reading some scripture together, and then we're going to answer it. In Psalms 133, in verse number 1, the scripture says, "Behold, how pleasant and how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity." Next, let's look at the prayer of Jesus in the garden in John chapter 17 and verse 20. And 21. John 17, 20 and 21. "I do not pray for these alone, but for all those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that there also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me." Then let us look at Ephesians chapter 4. And the first three verses, Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3. The scripture says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you were called, with lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now, ladies and gentlemen, when we read these scriptures, we see that biblical unity is indeed important to God through the scriptures. It is important that God's people be united. Now, what does it mean to be united? Well, I'm afraid that would depend on who you ask. Some people today in the religious circles believe that unity is just based on all of us having some core beliefs that are the same, that we believe that God is creator, that we believe that God sent His Son, that His Son came to the earth, that He lived, He died, He sacrificed His life, and then He was resurrected, and then He went back to heaven. And indeed, all those things are important, and all those things are biblical truths as contained in the Bible. But is that the only basis that we need to be united on? And then there are others who believe that we are united simply because we are all believers of God, and that is unity. The new concept in the religious circles today is called the megachurch or the community church. And in these churches, you have many different faiths, many different belief systems. You have people that come together under one umbrella and have many differing views on differing things. And yet, because they're all together, they're all in one place, and they're all believers in God, then that means that they have unity, biblical unity. Well, is that what the scripture teaches? Now, we also need to understand that unity sometimes is described by being united under a cause. Since we're all are Christians and we all believe in the Lord, we're all united because we are God-fearing people and we are believers in Christ. Now, all these things are concepts and theories and philosophies that are offered today in the religious realm that tells us that we have biblical unity. But I want to suggest to you this morning that such concepts and such theories fall far short of what Jesus and God wanted for his people. If you remember the prayer that we read in John 17, he wanted us to be one and united like the Father and the Son are united. And that's what he prayed for. And in Ephesians chapter 4, he prayed for the bond of unity. Now, there is a very important part of unity that must be present for unity to be possible, and that is truth. Truth must be interwoven into any concept of biblical unity. There is no unity absence of truth. You can't have differing doctrines and differing teachings and yet still claim to have unity. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Again, what good does it do for us to believe in the Lord, but yet we teach differing things? Let me suggest something else to you. In John chapter 15, the parable of the vine and the branches, the teaching of Jesus in the vine and the branches. And in verse number 5, he says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Now, in the religious circles, people have this particular passage explained to us that the vine, of course, is Jesus Christ. And the vine dresser, of course, is his Father. And the different branches are differing faiths. Like maybe this branch is a Lutheran branch. This one is a Presbyterian. This one is Episcopalian. This one is Jehovah's Witness. This one is Church of the Latter-day Saints. This one is a Mormon. This one belongs to the Christian church, and so on and so forth. And yet they would all submit to you that each of those organizations are attached to the true vine. Well, that doesn't fix the context. That doesn't fit the context of John 15. Because if we continue reading, he says in verse number 9, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." Well, how do we do that? Being to abide in means to live in. How do we do that? Verse 10 tells us, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And so, in other words, Jesus demonstrated his unity with the Father and his love for the Father by doing the Father's will, by abiding in his commands. And he says, if we love him, then we're going to abide in his commands. And so John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If one is going to have spiritual unity, biblical unity, they're going to have to abide in the teaching of Christ. They're going to have to abide in what the Bible says and be united on the doctrine and the teaching of the Lord. A few years ago, I was having a discussion with a religious teacher here in our community, and we were talking about some prophecy that is contained in the book of Daniel. And he had written some articles on it in the local paper, and he had misrepresented the meaning of the prophecy, and he had redefined and reconstructed what he thought those prophecies meant about things that had yet not taken place. Yet he didn't study the context very well, and he took them out of context, and he gave them a narrative to fit his theory about the thousand-year reign and the premillennial understanding that so many in the religious world have. And I was on my radio program, I was doing a series on premillennialism, and I pointed out that his inaccuracies of the way that he understood and the way that he explained those prophecies in Daniel and in Revelation. Well, he called me a couple of days later, and in our discussion, he was saying, well, that's just doctrine, Mr. Greer. That's all that is doctrine, and we don't have to be in agreement on doctrine. Well, I asked him the question, where in the Bible does it say that? Where does it say that we can differ on doctrine? Doctrine are the teachings of Christ. How can we differ on that? Jesus just said, if you love me, you abide in my commandments. How can we say we love God and we believe in God and we are united with God when we speak and do and construct things that are contrary to his holy and divine will? In other words, we can be united on the fact that we are all believers in God and we all believe in the sacrifice of the Son and we all believe in his resurrection and ascension back to heaven. But we can differ on things of his teaching, on what he taught about the church, about what he taught about worship, about what he taught about the organization of the church, what he talked about the work of the church is. Now, we can have different concepts about that, and we can differ on biblical prophecy, and yet we can all be united in Christ. That's ridiculous. It's false to the core. There is no unity there. We are differing on the teachings of Christ. That makes us not unified. That makes us divided. And we'll talk about that next week. But what I want you to see is that there is no true biblical unity separate and apart from the truth. You can't say you're a believer in God and then disregard some of what God says and yet still claim to have unity. It's not possible. It's not possible to have unity at the expense of truth. Biblical unity is based upon the biblical unity that is found in truth. If we're one of God's children, if we're going to wear his name, if we're going to make the argument that the Bible is the infallible and inerrant word of God, but yet in the same breath, we can teach it differently, we can practice it differently, and we can speak it differently, and yet all claim to be united in Christ, that's just a fallacy. That's a pipe dream. That's something that the scriptures will not bear out. I would challenge you, ladies and gentlemen, to go to the Bible and give me one example of men and women who were given instruction by God and did differing things, and both of them were blessed. Just give me one example. Just show me one example when God gave a command and some did it and some didn't do it, but both were blessed no matter which one they did. You'll not find an example in all the Bible. If God gave a command, if God gave an instruction, he expected it to be followed. And that was a demonstration of love for God, and that was a demonstration of abiding in his doctrine. Unity cannot be achieved without truth. Truth is absolutely paramount, and we need to be united in Christ. That is a true statement. There needs to be unity among God's people, but there is no unity among God's people if there is not unity in the truth and in what God's book teaches us to practice and say.